First John chapter 5 and verse 6. And we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. John is writing and he says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. Believing that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God is the essence of true faith. That is what John has been telling us, and that is what we have been reading together in recent weeks as we have been considering these lovely passages and this beautiful little epistle of 1 John. And we've been thinking about the way in which John's writing here has been a spur and an encouragement to our Christian assurance, how it speaks to the hearts of those who are challenged with doubt and uncertainty, and who feel very often the pressures of wondering and the questions that come against us by the temptations and the wiles of the devil. But John is telling us in very stark terms that the evidence of grace, that the litmus test, if you like, of salvation, the question as to how do I even know that I am saved, is to be found in properly understanding the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. And so he tells us this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." You will know the Spirit of God. Now we know that carnal men and women, fleshy men and women, cannot know spiritual things. So this is a testimony of those who are spiritual. We will know the Spirit of God. How will we know? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. And again in chapter 5 verse 1, getting close to the passage that we're thinking about today, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now this is the testimony that John has been giving us. This is the pattern of his teaching. This is what he has repeated to us time and time again. And I know that some of us will say, "That's too easy. That's too generous what John's saying here. It's too broad. It must be more specific than that. It must be more defined than that. It must be more targeted than that. Anybody can say that. Indeed, there's not a church member who hasn't said that, because every denomination has that in their statement of faith, that Jesus is the Christ. Every Christian denomination testifies to that. Every liturgy holds that. Every hymn singer sings that. Anyone who prays that. Christmas time. Who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God at Christmas time? Does that mean that God dwells in everyone who says that? Does that mean that all of these people are born of God? As I was thinking about this and thinking about how I might explain it, I remembered about Moses and Aaron. This is taking us right back to the very beginning of the scriptures again. Remember, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they had been charged by God, Moses and his brother Aaron with him, charged by God to go into the presence of Pharaoh and to ask for the release of the people. And God gave Moses a sign that he could give to Pharaoh. Aaron was to cast his rod down before Pharaoh and it would turn into a snake. And what do we read about that occasion when Moses and Aaron went into the presence of Pharaoh and Aaron cast down his rod and it became a snake? Well, here's what we're told. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. I wonder what Moses thought at that precise moment. I wonder what he thought when he saw all those snakes wriggling around on the ground. Did that mean that his calling was invalid? That his charge, that his responsibility was somehow undermined because some illusionists had performed a trick and copied the same thing that had been given to Moses as a sign? Listen. It isn't the expression of the phrase, but it is our confidence in the person of Christ that makes the difference. Here's a $20 bill. You know, a counterfeit 20 might look and sound the same as the real thing. But a counterfeit is worthless. And very often Satan uses the fact that we are surrounded by counterfeits, that we are surrounded by illusionists and enchanters, people who say one thing but do another, in order to tempt and provoke doubt in the people of God, those who struggle with their own personal assurance. The devil says, look at all these other people. He says, you don't believe that these people are saved, do you? You don't believe that these people are going to heaven, do you? So what makes you think that you are? What makes you think that you're right and they're wrong? What is so good about you that you're going to heaven and they're not? They say the same things. They sing the same songs. They pray the same prayers. They confess the same confessions. And then he aggravates it because he says, and you know what? They actually appear to be enjoying their Christian life. they actually appear to be having successful Christian lives. They seem to be the very overcomers that John was speaking about. But remember this, that the devil is a liar and a deceiver. And don't you compare your faith to a forgery. There is a real gospel, and there is another gospel. There is true faith, and there is religious fantasy. There are true gospel ministers, and there are gospel magicians. Don't confuse the two. Recently, we've been thinking about Christian assurance, and we have come, perhaps, in these verses that are before us today, to the finest portion in the Bible for confirmation and reassurance of the divine work of salvation. And I have chosen my words. I have thought about this. Perhaps the finest portion in the whole of Scripture for confirmation and reassurance of the divine work of salvation. Because in these few verses, John brings the triune God both to witness and to bear record of the great salvation that has been sacrificially gained and freely granted by the Lord Jesus Christ to poor, lost sinners like us. And I think that this is a quite extraordinary passage. And once again, I repeat myself, I draw your attention to the sweet simplicity of the language and the beauty and the profundity of the theology that it contains. Look at verse 6 here of 1 John chapter 5. John the apostle writes, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. All who are born of God," because remember, that's what John has been talking about, those who have been born of God, "all who overcome the world, all who believe that Jesus is the Christ, all who are the Lord's people are so by water and blood." They are able to testify that Jesus is the Christ because of water and blood. What is John saying to us here? Well, he is speaking about regenerating grace. That is the picture of water. We remember that from John chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Nicodemus about being born again. And that is regenerating grace and atoning blood. So we have been born again and enabled to testify that Jesus is the Christ by regeneration, regenerating grace, and atoning blood. Our acceptance with God, our peace with God, is an act of divine mercy. It is the bestowing of the free, sovereign grace of God upon a sinful soul. And so here in this verse 6, we are reminded that salvation is a divine act. We cannot atone for sin. It requires the blood of Christ. We cannot quicken ourselves. We cannot make ourselves alive. It requires the regenerating grace of God and the application of that grace and that blood by God the Holy Spirit. So that even our faith and our enabling and our ability to testify that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God comes to us by divine power. It is part of the wholeness of the blessing of God and the gift of God to our souls. Our atonement, our being made one with God, our reconciliation with God is because of Jesus Christ's death and the application of the benefits of that death to us at God's instigation and initiative. Our quickening, our being made alive, our regeneration, if you like, these are all words that are used to describe this sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit to give to whomsoever God wills the free gift of grace. Conversion and all that comes to us in our conversion is by the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit, whom John says is truth in verse 6, he it is that ministers those truths, the water and the blood, to our hearts, to our understanding, as the gospel is preached to us and as we are brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 speaks about that assurance that we have and drawing near to God with assurance. This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. That's what we're talking about, full assurance. Wherein does a believer get this full assurance? Wherein is his doubts dealt with? Where are the temptations challenged? Where can we have this full assurance of faith? Having, says the writer to the Hebrews, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the water and the blood that John is talking about. And it's that water and blood that leads us into an understanding of what God has done for us in Christ and gives us that assurance that many of us struggle with throughout our Christian pilgrim walk. Full assurance is enjoyed when we come believing that Jesus is the Christ by water and blood, by that regenerating grace and the application of the blood of Christ upon our souls and our consciences. That is when we understand our faith is not the cause of our salvation, but the result of our salvation. That it is the blessed effect of the Father's love towards us in covenant purpose. That the cleansing blood of Christ's atoning death has been given to us, and that the effectual call of God the Holy Spirit has been granted to us. Faith is the fruit of the divine purpose, and it is the achievement of God's will in our lives as he applies his grace to us. So let me repeat myself and restate John's earlier assertion also. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And let me turn that over to you today. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Will you answer me that question? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Then I tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you are born of God. Do you understand that belief that Jesus is the Christ is possible only because of Christ's blood, and the Holy Spirit's quickening power. You are born of God, and that is a biblical fact. It's not a matter of maybe. It's not to be undermined by our continuing sin and our sense of guilt. It's not founded on those guilt-fueled feelings that we have. It's not up for discussion or debate. Your salvation, your new birth, your blood atonement is certain and sure because the Holy Spirit, having acted upon you, inspires that conversion and that confession. Because the Spirit is truth. Do you remember King Solomon? Wise King Solomon. He said, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And John here in verse 7 of our passage takes the old king literally. And he brings us two threefold cords in quick succession in the following two verses. One cord that he draws from heaven and one cord that he finds upon earth. And he calls both of these testimonies to witness and record this incontrovertible and irrefutable truth that if we confess that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, then we are born of God and possessors of God's truth and God's grace and God's life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now this is a great Trinitarian verse, and once again we are indebted to John under God the Holy Spirit for this beautiful, simple, glorious statement. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I say again, it is a beautiful proof text of the Trinity. One God in three persons, God the Father, God the Word, or the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But let us remember that that John's purpose in giving us this proof text for the Trinity was not to prove the Trinity, but to assure the Lord's people of their heavenly birthright and the eternal salvation in Christ, which is being spoken of in this passage. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Verse 1. There is a threefold testimony in heavenly witnesses, says John, to this fact, that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The one true God in his three persons witnesses from heaven to this truth, that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Jesus of Nazareth is the God-man who alone is able to stand between God and man, mediating peace, offering, as it were, upon the altar of God's justice, his own precious blood, interceding for all that come to God through him as the great satisfier of divine justice. And the Father, God the Father, testifies to his acceptance of that because he says, this is my beloved Son. Who? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Father bears witness, bears record, and testifies to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. The Word testifies. And I think it's perhaps interesting to note that the nomenclature, the title, the name, Word, the Word, which is another name of Christ the Son, is used here rather than the Son, because it is the Son that is being authenticated and attested to. So it is the Word, the eternal Word, that speaks here in heaven as John brings this testimony to bear on his argument. And the Word testifies, I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. So the Father testifies, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Word says, I and my Father are one. And the Spirit testifies, as he did, as he descended from heaven at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a dove alighted upon the Saviour. And we're told that the Holy Spirit gave that sign to John the Baptist, by which he knew and bear record that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 33 and 34. And so all three persons, being united in their essence as the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unite in their heavenly witness to what? To Jesus Christ's sonship and saving purpose, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. And John tells us that the three in one bear record, so that like a witness in court, their testimony is on record. And it has been sworn to be faithful and true. Let me ask you that question that I asked a little earlier. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Then you believe the Father's testimony, you believe the Word's testimony, and you believe the Spirit's testimony as only sons of God can. God has sworn this to be true, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. The triune God bears record. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you shall be saved. And says John, going on to verse 8, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So here's John's second threefold cord that is not quickly broken. Bearing record on earth to the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ and witnessing to his effectual work of salvation. Attesting, recording that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in whom we have by faith eternal life. So we've thought about the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And now we are being told that there is another threefold cord. There is the Spirit, the water, and the blood that bear testimony on earth. The Spirit of power. Now this is again the Holy Spirit. And he is that dual aspect, bearing record in heaven and bearing record on earth, because it is the Holy Spirit on earth that applies the work of God's sovereign grace to the hearts of men and women, revealing the gospel of grace to the hearts of men and women. So the Spirit of power testifies on earth. The water of grace, the grace of God that quickens dead sinners and brings that new life that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus about. So that the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 verse 16 could say, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. so that the Spirit and the water of grace both attest to the fact that we are the children of God. And the blood, this third strand, this third part of the threefold cord, by the sprinkling of that blood, again by the Holy Spirit, purges our conscience, shows us where our salvation is to be found, what undergirds it, what enables it, what has been offered by Christ and accepted by God, and whereby our reconciliation is secured. Herein is our peace with God. Herein is our freedom from guilt. As the triune God bears record from heaven, so these three bear record on earth, all agreeing together that Jesus is the Christ to the saving of our souls. The Spirit of power, that's what John calls him here in verse 8. The Spirit of power reminds us that the gospel is a spiritual message that requires that empowering. It's not going to be received by men and women, and it's not going to be understood by men and women, except the Holy Spirit opens deaf ears and blind eyes. To re-echo Jesus Christ, you must be born again. And that new birth is an effectual work of grace by God's powerful Spirit upon our dead spirits, quickening and making alive. The water is the regenerating grace of God applied to the heart of a sinner in conversion, bringing us to an experiential knowledge of God's holiness. Not our holiness, our sin, but God's holiness, our guilt, God's righteousness, our need of mercy, God's gracious supply. And thereby he deals with our longings for peace and reconciliation with him. And the blood is the application of Christ's precious blood for the remission of our sins, the purging of our conscience, our redemption, the setting free of the captive. Hebrews 13 verse 20 talks about peace by the blood of the everlasting covenant. So here are three more witnesses bearing record of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit of power upon earth, the grace of God in regeneration, and the blood of Jesus Christ that purges our conscience from sin, all uniting to declare the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth, that he is God's Son, the Messiah, that by him a complete salvation to needy sinners like us has been obtained. Romans chapter 3 verse 26 says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the witness of God. This is the record of heaven. This is the testimony of the Spirit upon earth by the preaching of free grace in the gospel. This is truth. Who amongst us today will not receive it? Who makes God a liar when he declares this to be true? Believing that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God is in itself a witness of grace, because the natural man receiveth it not, and spiritual things are foolishness unto him. Brothers and sisters, this is the record of God. He has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, only to those who believe. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There isn't a third way. There's no middle ground in this matter. We either have Christ or not. We have faith or not. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God or not. Let me ask you as pointedly as I can, what is it with you? What is it with you? Do not tell me about your sinful deeds or your sinful thoughts or your sinful feelings. I know all about that already. Do not speak about your doubts. It's not unusual. They are sent to try our faith. Do not listen to Satan, the father of lies. What has the liar got to add to this matter of the testimony of the triune God in heaven? Pharaoh's enchanters, they only confirmed that old fool's deception when their snakes turned to, their staffs turned to snakes on the ground. Just answer me this. Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God? The Father says he is. The Word says he is. The Spirit says he is. The Gospel says he is. The new birth says he is. The shed blood of Jesus Christ says he is. It is the testimony of heaven and earth that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God and the only way of salvation. What do you say? May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.